Hello everyone, my name is Uldar. Welcome to another episode of Ask Me About North Korea, a podcast about the most reclusive country in the world. In this podcast, I'm answering the most widespread questions about North Korean politics, society, and culture, in a short and concise manner, based on factual evidence. If you like this podcast, I would be grateful if you could share it with your friends, leave a positive review, make a donation, or subscribe. You can also visit the podcast website, www.askmeaboutdprk.wordpress.com. There you can access episode transcripts, as well as some other materials, such as book reviews, film recommendations, and online events. As the name of the podcast suggests, please feel free to ask me questions in your comments and reviews. I will do my best to answer them in the next episodes. And now, let's start. There are not that many things that both North and South Korea have in common, yet football is one of them. Given the love of the game in both countries, football can be a powerful diplomatic tool in inter-Korean relations as well as a gate for North Koreans to the outside world. In today's episode, I will talk about the history and peculiarities of contemporary North Korean football at the request of one of my listeners, Carl Stewart from Northumberland, England. Thanks, Carl, for staying tuned. Let us start with some basic historical and contextual details. Despite its Western origins, football, also known as soccer in North America, enjoys the status of one of the most popular sports in North Korea. Its key governing body is the Korean Football Association, which was established in 1945, right after the liberation of the country from Japan. Pyongyang is naturally the epicenter of the North Korean football world. With an incredible seating capacity of 100,000 people, Pyongyang's May Day Stadium is the largest in the world. Despite its actual functions, the stadium today is best known for the Arirang Mass Games that became a massive tourist attraction. Initially, all sports in North Korea were organized on an amateur basis, but in 1977, sport in the country was reformed, creating professional teams with paid players for each sport. Since then, an annual football championship called the National Championship has been held in September through each year. There is also a variety of other competitions with subtle or not so subtle political subtexts. These include the Mangyongda Prize held in March through April in honor of Kim Il-sung's birthday, the Baekdusan Prize held in February in honor of Kim Jong-il's birthday. The DPRK Korea Football League is the Korean Football Association's football league. It has a first division, which is called DPRK Korea Premier Football League, a second division called Football League 2, and a third division called Football League 3. Second-class clubs are smaller and not so important, though their top football teams take part in the upper levels and occasionally do achieve promotion into the highest division. Provincial representative clubs are also included in the second class. Third-class clubs are amateurish and do not take part in the highest levels of competition. These usually belong to various factories and other state enterprises. There are several national-level amateur tournaments too, for example, the Interprovincial Games. All football teams in North Korea are attached to different industries, factories, or government departments. Given that North Korea's military has an estimated 1 million strong standing army, which has a special place in the country's ideology, no wonder that soldiers have dominated North Korean football for ages. April 25 is a men's football team which plays in the North Korean Premier League and is considered to be the most successful club in the country, having won 22 national championships. The club is affiliated with the military. In fact, its name is a reference to the national holiday called the Military Foundation Day. April 25th's home stadium is the Yanggakdo Stadium, but in international club competition, home matches are usually played at the Kim Il-sung Stadium. Internationally, North Korea has never been a football superstar, yet occasionally its teams caused quite a stir. The DPRK became a FIFA affiliate in 1958, and its national male team went on to qualify for two World Cups in 1966 and 2010. The 1966 World Cup case particularly interesting. Back then, the North Korean team went to the English working-class city of Middlesbrough for a series of qualifying matches. Due to their underdog status and fighting style of play, they won the hearts and minds of the locals there. Following the opening 3-0 defeat to the Soviet Union, thousands of people turned out for the next few games to cheer on the North Koreans. One of these games was with Italy. Surprisingly for everyone, North Korea famously defeated Italy in the final group stage 1-0 to qualify for the second round, which became one of the greatest upsets in the World Cup history. Park Do-ik, who scored the winner, allegedly received an automobile from the North Korean government. The Italian team, on the other hand, was met with a shower of tomatoes and eggs on their return to Rome. Another interesting trend is that despite North Korea being a deeply patriarchal society, the women's team is a source of huge national pride, especially if compared to the men's team. As of April 2021, North Korea's national male football team was ranked 109th in the world by the FIFA, which is still higher than my most glorious motherland. The females, however, made it to top 10 in the FIFA ranking. So, you see why North Korea is so proud of them. What is particularly curious, though, is that the male team largely consists of Chungnyeong-affiliated Koreans, or Koreans born and raised in Japan, who are clearly not seen as properly North Korean. This fact further damages their reputation due to strong anti-Japanese sentiments in North Korean society. The DPRK's female team, as well as the youth female team, have become more well-known in the early 2000s. They reached the World Cup quarterfinal in 2007 and won the Asian Cup in 2008. The youth team gathered trophies in AFC Under-16's Women's Championship, AFC Under-19 Women's Championship, as well as FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup and FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Moreover, the senior women's team has qualified for twice as many World Cups as the men's team. However, their 2011 finals in Germany resulted in a major scandal when five players failed drug tests. The North Korean delegation claimed that the players had taken a traditional Chinese medicine extracted from a deer's musk gland. The medicine, they argued, was administered after several players were hit by lightning. Despite the protests, the team was banned from participating in the 2015 World Cup. Nevertheless, the government pushes further with its efforts of football promotion. This probably is happening due to Kim Jong-un's personal interest. When he came to power, Kim ordered a greater investment in sport, and especially football, which is apparently one of his favorite sports. Apart from that, he must have concluded that football could bring international prestige and vital foreign currency. In the translation of Kim Jong-un's letter sent to the attendees of the 7th National Conference on Sports People in 2015, published by the Bleacher Report, we can see Kim Jong-un's official reasons of interest. Quote, "Sports play a very important role in consolidating a nation's strength, adding luster to a country's prestige and honor, inspiring people with national pride and dignity, and imbuing the whole society with a revolutionary mettle." Unquote. The first sport that North Korea should seek global supremacy in, according to Kim Jong-un, is women's football. So, with or without government support, the North Korean football also produces very well-trained and highly qualified sportspersons. Some of them even become subject of international attention from other football clubs. For example, the national team star player Han Kwon-song became rather famous in Asia. He played in the 2019 AFC Asian Cup qualifiers, helping North Korea qualify to the final tournament, where they played against Saudi Arabia and Lebanon in the group stage. After that, Han signed a contract with Juventus and eventually signed another 5-year contract with Qatar. The decision was panned by the United Nations as a violation of sanctions against the DPRK, since such contracts could be, and most likely are, an important source of foreign cash for the North Korean government. According to an unpublished UN panel of experts document reported by NK News, Han's contract with the Al Duhail Sports Club in Qatar was terminated in early 2021. Now, before wrapping up, I wanted to talk a little bit about the football rivalry between South and North Korea. After all, this is a politics podcast, so how could I miss the topic? Well, the results of this rivalry are rather inconclusive, which might seem surprising to you considering how rich South Korea is. On the one hand, in men's football, the South has dominated the North. the DPRK won only one match against the South there. However, exactly the opposite has been true of women's football, which has been dominated by the North female team, with the South only beating them once. The two Koreas have met each other in qualifying matches for the 1990, 1994, 2010, 2022 World Cups. The last one took place in October 2019. It was the first time that the match was held in Pyongyang. Let me quote one of the South Korean football team members. Quote, "The match was very aggressive to a degree that I think it's a huge achievement just to return safely without being injured. North Korean players were sensitive and aggressive. There was a lot of severe swearing." Unquote. While North Korean spectators were banned from attending the event, Pyongyang officials invited foreign diplomats. The Swedish ambassador to North Korea, Joachim Bergstrom, also participated in the event and filmed a short video of the match, which appeared to show a serious verbal confrontation between the two teams during the match. It was a very fortunate political turn of events that the match ended in a draw. As the coronavirus pandemic paralyzed the world in 2020-2021, North Korea went into complete isolation. So now it is unclear how the current football situation looks like. For one thing, the DPRK has made it clear that the national teams will not be attending any major international sports events anytime soon. Specifically, the country dropped out of the 2021 Tokyo Olympics and recently announced that it will not be participating in any further qualifying matches for the 2022 World Cup. Well, that was it for today. I hope you found this episode interesting. Leave your opinion in the comments below or in the review section. If you like this episode, please leave a positive review on the podcast platform or make a donation on the podcast website, www.askmeaboutdprk.wordpress.com. Also, feel free to provide your feedback on this episode's quality and ask any questions about North Korea that you might have. Thank you for listening, stay healthy, and stay tuned.